everybody, welcome back to Beyond the Gate, our Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood podcast. I'm Megan.
And I'm Meg.
And we are once again recording separately in our normal situations. I know, so sad. But we are back for episode 47, Emissary of Darkness.
Yes, in this episode, a sinister voice rings out from the shell of Al's armor, and Ed and Greed find themselves under attack. As the homunculi use the darkness to their advantage, a face from the past arrives to join the battle.
Yes, and this covers manga chapter 85, The Empty Box, and 86, Servant of Darkness. I like Emissary of Darkness better.
Mm-hmm.
That's cooler.
Yes, it does. And I don't know, it really was like a chapter and a half that this episode covered. And it was, for the most part, I noticed, like, pretty
one for one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's jump into this. As we know, Al has been captured by the homunculi, and we see him just, like, floating in whiteness. So we have no idea where he is, but we hear Salim's creepy voice and, like, waking him up and be like, You're not done yet. And Ed and Greed and the Chimeras, they arrive in the Kanema slums, and they find Mr. Ho. I don't know why they chose.
He's called Mr. H in the
manga.
Yeah,
in the manga they call him Mr. H, but it was like, why are they calling him this?
I bet Ed loves that.
yeah, he's like, you deserve it, Dad.
Mr. Ho Ho Ho.
All right, anyway. I could say more, but I don't know.
Getting to one of my favorite parts.
Yes, Ed punches Hohenheim with his metal arm. And Hohenheim is like, what the heck did you do that for? And why with your metal arm? And then we see Greed in the background, like, he approves. I really enjoyed in this episode, like, everybody's, like, reaction faces.
Like, everything that Ed does in relation to his dad, you just see everybody's reactions to it. I think I like Greedlings especially because he's just watching him like, that's my boy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then Hohenheim thanks Greed for watching out for Ed, and Ed is mad about that, of course. Which honestly, I kind of get, like, we can get into that later. And then Hohenheim explains everything to Ed, and he tells him that Al believed him right away, but Ed is, like, pretty shaken and doesn't seem to know what to think.
Yeah. I also wanted to note that when Hohenheim, when he says, like, I explained, you know, my past, I explained everything to Al, Ed's reaction is, you told Al everything? And the tone in his voice, like, it almost sounded concerned. Like, he was worried that he told Al everything. Which I found kind of odd because Ed and Al share everything with each other. But then I thought, oh, he could be concerned because Ed's protective big brother instincts are like, you told Al all this? How did he handle it? Oh my goodness. What is he going to think? I need to talk to him about this and process things with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My little brother.
I noticed that too. I'm like, oh, sweet. Yeah. And then Hohenheim offers himself up to be the sacrifice so that they can get their bodies back. But Ed gets very upset and he's like, I'm not going to sacrifice another human being to get our bodies back. And Hohenheim approves. And then they, like, talk about the promised day and that they need to work together. And of course, Ed, once again, he's like, I will help you, but not because you want me to.
Not because I need you either.
Yeah.
But because aligning myself with you seems like the best course of action right now.
Yeah. And then again, we, like, see everybody's faces and they all, like, approve. They're like, Yeah, go, Ed.
Stick it to the man.
Yep. And then Ed gives Hohenheim Granny's message from Trisha, which is, I'm sorry I couldn't keep my promise. I'm dying first. And then we see Hohenheim crying. It's very sad.
It is. But this is where the manga differs a little bit. And I noticed throughout this, like, chapter and a half that wherever the anime focused on these bittersweet moments and, like, had the moment play out and, like, be very dramatic, the manga just, like, cut it short with some humor. Like, Arakawa's like, nope, can't be sad for too long. Let's make it funny. So in the manga, when Hohenheim starts crying, Ed has a hilarious reaction. He just kind of, like, freezes and goes, a grown man shouldn't cry. It's weird. I've given you the message. We cool? I'm going to get some grub. Later. And he just, like, scoots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, Ed. I get it, though.
Yeah. I mean,
that'd be awkward.
You know, like, those moments when you see your parents cry, I never know how to act or what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially, like, he hasn't seen his dad. Well, he saw him, like, a few months ago, but, like, he hasn't really seen his dad for... Oh, wait, no, did he? Yeah, he did.
They saw at his mom's grave, but that was, like, very brief. So he hasn't really talked with his dad too much or had a heart-to-heart with him.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and then we see Ed absolutely scarfing down food like a madman.
He is eating for two.
Yes, true, true. And right now it's very important because Al is losing his mind. And the Chimeras are, like, trying to mentor him and, like, be kinder to your father and you should, like, forgive him. And Ed, he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what to feel because he's like, Hohenheim is not what I was expecting. Yeah. You know, I expected him to be, like, some deadbeat dad who just walked out on me and then he is a human philosopher's stone and has been living for, like,
hundreds
forever
of years,
and...
Well, not only that, though, but it's easier to think he's the bad guy, because if Ed has to accept the fact that maybe his dad isn't, you know, all that bad, then he's going to be regretting all the lost time with him and all the time he's been angry at him and, like, what his family could have been had Hohenheim just been present for his and Al's growing up years.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Do you think, like, the Chimeras were a little out of line for, like, trying to be like, oh, you should forgive your dad, because, like, they literally just met him and have no idea.
Well,
like,
there has been a time skip. Know. They know him a little better now, but, like...
I mean, true, but...
Not that well. It's just that I feel like they did it out of a place of, hey, kid, are you sure you want to have any regrets with your old man? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like they did it out of, a place of kindness, or at least some sympathy for him, maybe even a little frustration at him, because they don't know Hohenheim that well either, or what he did to Ed's family. But if I was Ed, I wouldn't want to hear it.
Yeah, no, would not. And then we go back to Hohenheim. He's remembering Trisha and all the good times they had together, and then he kind of hints that they're going to be together soon. I mean, like, I think he thinks he's near the end, or, like, the promised day, you know.
Like,
you don't know what's going to happen.
Give up everything. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we see Ed buying red fabric and make his cloak, and Greed and the Chimeras are like, what are you doing? That is so flashy and kind of tacky. And but he's like, he wants to fight in style.
Yeah. Which is, like, I mean, if you didn't know Ed, you'd just roll your eyes. But since we know Ed, it's like, yeah, you do. But in the manga, yes, his friends think it looks tacky. And Greedling asks, why red? And Ed says, it makes me look strong and kind of gets my blood going. But there's, like, a flower sticking up off his hair antenna in the drawing. And he has, like, what I call a baby chick expression on his face. Kind of like a pouty... Yes, Ed, you look very tough with that little flower in your hair.
Yes. Then they're leaving Kanemon, and Ed tells the Chimeras that they don't have to stick with them. But they say, we don't have anything better to do. And they have a feeling it's better to stick with him. They have, these animal instincts that are telling them to stay by his side. Which I just, I don't know why, but it really cracked me up because they said animal instincts, like, it must have been like,
times.
Yeah, in this episode.
My animal instincts.
Yeah, animal instincts. You're like, okay, buddy. And then while they're walking through the woods, Al appears and Ed is so excited. He hasn't seen his brother in months, but something is not right. Al is like talking weird and he's not like really moving. And Ling, he warns Ed that it's not Al. And we see that Pride is inside Al's armor.
He looks pretty dope though. I mean, like, it's
yeah,
scary,
no, it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
Yes. And in the manga, it's pretty funny because Ed is freaked out and he's like, oh, Al, what's wrong? Is this your teen angst?
Great.
Like, Al would have angst.
I could see it.
Well, maybe a little bit, but he's such a sweetie.
And then we go to a quick scene of the train wreck. As we remember, Grumman blew up the Führer's train. They are searching for the Führer's remains, but they can't find them. And, Grumman is going to stay behind to help find the body. And we see his inner thoughts. He's thinking that he's going to let Olivier and Mustang make their move without him and be condemned as traitors, and then he'll swoop in and become Führer, which is pretty...
He was a great character up until that point.
Right?
I mean, he's still on the side, but then I'm like, I don't like you, man. You
a little bit schemey.
Yeah. I thought you were Roy's friend. Come on. You were so nurturing towards him. What happened?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, he seemed like a great character. Well, I don't know. The thing with Rebecca, I was like...
That made me go, I don't know.
Yeah. But then, yeah, this was like...
This pushed me over the edge to going, no, not another one of these guys.
Always he also just, like, straight up blew up the Führer, which...
That was pretty hardcore.
Yeah, it was like... I don't know. I guess he's always been kind of like unhinged and like you never know what's going on inside his head.
He reminds me of Pyxis from Attack on Titan, but Pyxis is way more honorable.
Yeah. Yes. Except he was a alcoholic, functioning alcoholic.
In that world, I guess you need a little booze to get you through the day. Just saying.
Yeah. Yikes. All right.
Sorry. Got dark there.
Anyway, Grumman is being all schemey, but Miles is like very wary of him. He's like, I don't trust this guy. Then we go back to the fight in the woods, or the fight that is about to begin. Ed tells the Chimeras to hide, and they're like already hiding. He's like, wow, that was awfully quick. And they're
animal
like,
animal instincts are animals. Just stay away.
And then Pride, he attacks Ed and it's pretty awesome. And Ed tries to like make a wall and Pride goes completely destroys it. And then he captures Greenling and Ed is like, you know, there's the slums right behind them and he doesn't want him to go after Pride to go after them. So he causes a blackout and Pride needs to be able to cast shadows in order to move around. So he's kind of helpless. And this is when we see that his body is in the woods and the lion chimera Heinkel attacks, which honestly, like, even they say it, but it's like hard to watch because it is like a kid,
yeah,
but it's not a kid.
I don't know. Like, I mean, I know with, for I you think, it's like, really hard to watch because you love anime babies. But for me, I was like, I mean, yes, it's kind of like, ooh, because he is a child. But the logical part of my brain kicks in and goes, nah, he's evil. He's really evil. He's like the worst. It's okay. Yep.
Your animal instincts are telling you that he's bad news.
You know,
and like his creepy voice also helps with that. Like,
but the interesting thing about these two chimeras, they're fine with the way they are. Like, they find that their powers come in handy. The other two chimeras that were with Al's group, they want to be back to normal. They want to be humans again. I think that's interesting. Like, you could see both ways. Like, I want to be back to normal, or, hey, this is kind of a cool superpower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did those two say that they have families? Like, the two that are with Ed and Greed?
No, I don't think they mentioned anything about that. That could be part of the reason why they don't
Yeah, because I just was just thinking, well, I know the other two said that they have families. So.
Yeah. Hmm.
Interesting. So it's pitch black, and Ed and Darius, the other chimera, they find Greedling, and Greedling like, how did Pride even find us? Like, this doesn't make any sense. And then while they're standing together, Darius is like, get down, and Gluttony like shoots out of nowhere and like
terrifying
bites. Yeah. He is so scary. He bites the tree and it like comes down.
That's how Pride found them, because Gluttony's got his sense of smell. But I also thought it was so cute how Darius like grabbed Ed and Ling's heads and just ducked them. That's such like a dad move, you know, like when dads always protect the head, I've noticed. So it's just so, I don't know. He cares about those kids.
Yeah. They also spent like, yeah, I forgot. Greenling is technically 15. Well, maybe he's 16 now.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're both just little babies. And then Darius goes into action. He attacks Gluttony, and he's winning. And then he's like, I'm gonna go in for the final punch. And then he punches Ed,
which looked like it hurt. Like, he got him right in the gut. I'm surprised he could even stand. I'm surprised he could even stand after that.
Right.
But in the manga, Darius says, oh, Ed? I thought the shadow looked a little small. And Ed is fuming in the next panel.
he recovered quickly after that comment.
Yep.
And then Ling convinces Greed to switch, because as we know, Ling can like sense the homunculi. And at first, Gluttony bites his arm off, but then Ling and Greed switch, and Ling fights back. But then, all of a sudden, those three are standing there, and Gluttony, like, is being cut to pieces by a mysterious shadow. And guess who it is?
Fawn!
Yeah!
That's, like, one of the coolest entrances. Like, you just see, like, these whips of movement, and then she stops, and she just, like, judo flips Gluttony and does like the most graceful back arch, you know, flip, comes up, and you see like an automail arm.
Mm-hmm.
And she's wearing her mask and her like super cool stealth outfit, which I'm not a huge fan of her mask, but like now that I'm used to it and with the stealth outfit and like her cool martial arts, like this is Lan Fawn.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then the episode ends.
Yeah. And that's where the chapter ended, too. Like, that big entrance.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. So, we had just a couple things, not as much to talk about, but one big thing. So, I'm going to refer to a YouTube video, which I believe I've saved on our playlist called Fullmetal Analysis. And it's a series of three videos where this guy has read the entire manga and he breaks down his thoughts on it. And something he mentioned that I hadn't noticed before is that in the manga, apparently, Ed never refers to Heinkel and Darius by their names. It's always Mr. Lion or Gorilla. And Ling always uses their names, like Greedling always calls them by name. And he treats them with a lot of respect because they're his colleagues, although he might call them his lackeys or whatever. Mm-hmm. And of course, in the anime, it's a little different because in one scene, Ed did use Heinkel's name, but then he called him Lion Guy in like the very next scene. So I don't know if Ed does that to tease them or if he just, in the manga, I'm not sure if he never bothered to learn their names, which does not seem like Ed to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I feel like he just does it to tease them, given how they met and the circumstances surrounding, like, the battles they've been through.
Yeah. It also could be more, like, I don't know, Mr. Lion and Mr. Gorilla, that seems more, yeah, like, endearing and, like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, like it's not always Mr. It's, like, sometimes he refers to them less respectfully, but yeah, it basically in the analysis videos, which were amazing, the guy says like Greed is always conscious of the people around him and he always values his comrades. The next thing we had was tracking the homunculi deaths. Again, it was kind of hard to tell how many times exactly they died, but Pride probably died a couple times from getting slashed by Heinkel. And then Gluttony died at least once from Lawn Fawn because she just, like, eviscerated him. And then moving on to animation expertise, I like how they animated the characters walking around in the dark, because obviously they couldn't black out the screen, so the audience, you know, wouldn't be able to see anything. But instead, they show the characters squinting or walking with their hands outstretched or tripping over things and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and then the final thing I wanted to briefly discuss is just Ed's reaction to his dad. Like, this is totally a case of finding out someone isn't who you thought they were, and like you judge them incorrectly, and I don't know, that would be so hard, especially when it's your dad. Like,
yeah, someone so close and vital to your life. But yeah,
and like he just spent years and years, like, I wouldn't say not blaming everything on his dad, but blaming a lot of stuff on his dad and
hating him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because although Ed is an angry person at times, I don't think he harbors much hate for anybody. Like, he's one of the characters that shows the most compassion to people. So it's kind of odd that he wouldn't offer the same courtesy to his own father. But then you see how his mom was hurt by it and how Al was hurt by it. And I think it's his protective nature of, like, you know, him not wanting to see his loved ones in pain that make him so angry and bitter towards his dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think if there's anything else I want to say.
Well, that topic will come up later, too, especially in the last couple episodes.
Yeah, I guess we'll have more to say. There's a lot to talk about, especially with Hohenheim's character. I don't know, he is very interesting, because in a lot of other animes and just shows in general, like, the deadbeat dad is the deadbeat dad. But here, that's not the case. But also,
I like that it
kind of is at the same time, because he did still abandon his children, even if, and his partner, even if he didn't, understand necessarily what he was doing.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. That is what we have for the episode. Megan, what was your favorite line?
Mine came from Ed when he was smacked in the gut. Why, Mr. Gorilla?
Betrayed.
What was yours, Meg?
Mine also came from Ed when he was making his cloak, and Greed is like, why are you doing this? He said, there's a pretty good chance it's going to be the last battle we ever fight. I want to do it in style.
Heck yeah, Ed.
And then what did we learn in this episode?
To have an open mind. Ed sure didn't want to talk to his dad again, but he was willing to give him another chance, or at least to hear him out.
Yep. And then who pushed the story forward?
Ed did, because he joined up with his dad, and he's ready to head to the final battle with his allies. In style.
Yeah! Awesome. All right. And then one fun extra thing. We're going to ask this question on our Instagram, but we thought it would be... While we were putting together this episode, we, like, could not... We had a hard time remembering the Chimera's names. And so we wanted to ask our audience if they know all of them. So I'm going to... Megan, do you know all the Chimera's names?
Michael's the lion. Darius is the gorilla.
I think one of them is Zampano. Is that one?
No. Oh, Zampano and I always forget the last one. Wow. Yeah. And then, like, there's also the Chimeras from Greed's first gang, like Beto and
yeah.
I only know Roa's one.
Yeah.
Martel, was that the girl's name?
Yep.
Yeah. And then the dog, I can't remember the dog one.
Alright. I don't know anymore either.
Yeah. Okay, that's gonna be a tough one.
Yep. But
now I don't blame Ed for saying Mr. Lion and Mr. Gorilla.
Yeah. Alright. We will be back with another episode next week. Check out our YouTube channel, which is Full Metal Beyond the Gate, to check out the video that Megan mentioned, and then also follow us on Instagram at Beyond the Gate. And yeah, see ya.
Thanks for listening. Bye.